Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti. Internet and phone service are now reported partially restored in the Gaza Strip, ending a major communications blackout. And with that comes word that
Israeli troops this morning used loudspeakers to order the evacuation of Al-Shifa Hospital within an hour, according to a journalist for the AFP news agency at the scene. He says they called the hospital's director, instructing him to ensure the evacuation of patients, wounded, the displaced and medical staff, saying they should move on foot towards the seafront. Israeli forces have surrounded the compound for days, having made raids into it, as they say it's used by Hamas.
Tom Bateman of the BBC in Jerusalem. That French news agency now reports hundreds of people have evacuated the hospital on foot, but Gaza health officials say 450 patients were left behind. Now the focus of advertising boycotts and major controversy. Elon Musk threatens what he calls a thermonuclear lawsuit. All that follows Musk's retweet and voiced agreement with an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory tweet.
Even the White House waded in, saying, quote, "We condemn this abhorrent promotion of anti-Semitic and racist hate in the strongest terms, which runs against our core values as Americans."
Correspondent Nancy Cordes. From Denver, word about Colorado's upcoming Republican primary.
A Colorado judge will allow former President Trump on the ballot, rejecting an attempt to bar him under the Constitution's insurrection clause.
Correspondent Wendy Gillette. In Atlanta, the district attorney is now asking for an August start date for Trump's election interference and racketeering trial. Like her husband, ex-president Jimmy Carter, 96-year-old former First Lady Rosalynn Carter is now in home hospice care. Hospice nurse Penny Smith tells us what that is.
We have nurses, hospice aides, social workers, chaplains. We have volunteers. So we do everything from symptom management to educating the family on how to care for their dying person, educating them on what to expect when a person is dying.
That abuse lawsuit against music producer Sean Diddy Combs did not stay long in the legal system.
The lawsuit filed Thursday by Cassandra Ventura, who goes by the name Cassie, contained allegations of beatings and abuse by music producer Sean Diddy Combs. She claimed that she was signed to Combs' label in 2005 when she was 19 and he was 37, and the pattern of abuse began as soon as their relationship started. Her attorney has announced in a release that one day later, they've reached a deal to their mutual satisfaction, but offered no details.
CBS News correspondent Jennifer Kuiper. Wall Street finished Friday trading just ever so slightly lower, the Dow down about 2 points. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, Locally Grown Radio.
Children are the greatest joy and our best hope for a better future. Friends, they are the future. But did you know that millions of kids right here in our own backyard are facing hunger every day? Without healthy food, it's harder to grow, to thrive, to feel their best.
The impact when children don't have enough to eat is tremendous, because when you're hungry and your basic needs aren't being met, you cannot learn.
Every child deserves to be fed. This is a problem we know how to solve. Food is not just food. It's energy, health, confidence, hope, and even love. Yes, love.
Breakfast in the classroom contributes to kids being more focused, which leads to higher grades, and simply just their well-being.
Thank you!
Learn more about how No Kid Hungry is helping end child hunger in America at helpnokidhungry.org.
Here's your forecast from Locally Grown Radio WFHR. Sunny skies today with highs around 51. West winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 27 tonight. Clear skies tomorrow 48. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 29.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wasota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
On this Friday morning, November 17th, 2023, nice to have you along. Here in Chippewa Falls, Greg Bach is down in Waukesha on this World Prematurity Day. It is National Hiking Day. It is National Baklava Day. Greg, that's one of those things I don't think I've been able to find in Chippewa Falls is a good baklava.
Really? You don't have good Greek food up there?
Not that I've seen. It's National Homemade Bread Day. I'm not opposed to that.
Ooh, no.
National Zinfandel Day. Probably should have brought that up with Carolyn Fiddler, although she probably is too good for Zinfandel. I think these two things go together here. It is Testosterone Awareness Day. So be aware of your testosterone. It's also World Vasectomy Day. And that's where I've got to tip my cap to my neighbor Art, who had the greatest Halloween costume one day when he had those dog cones, the cone of shame that they put on the dog. He had one around each wrist and then a big V and, yeah, vasectomy, man.
Worst Marvel superhero ever. We need more help. Should we call V-Man? Yeah. Don't call it. No, it's fine. It's fine.
Coming up this hour, we're going to talk to Mark Jacob about how pollsters need to figure it out faster when it comes to covering these presidential campaigns. Every time I see a head-to-head national poll, just makes my head want to explode because that's not – we don't have a national direct popular election. You can get more votes, you can be more popular, and still not win. Hillary Clinton, Al Gore, Benjamin Harrison. Was it Benjamin Harrison or Rutherford B. Hayes? Who won that election of 1876, Greg? I mean,
it was Rutherford B. Hayes.
Was it Hayes?
Wait.
Okay.
Now I don't know.
See, now it's going to be a thing. And you know what? Roger's listening. Roger's going to put it up as a Facebook
Roger, comment. We already knew that Arnold Schwarzenegger was the governor.
Don't pick on her.
I'm just kidding.
Facebook commenters. We are very happy to have them here. So we'll talk to Mark Jacob about that and other media coverage of the week's events. Dan Schumacher will help us wrap things up as we look toward a very busy weekend in sports. We have some high school football champions already. We will have more later today. A reminder that the Civic Media app is how you can catch us if you can't be by your radio. You can, if you've got an interwebs connection on your phone and you've got the app downloaded, you can catch our shows that way. You can also call or text the show at the station of your choosing. So again, just go to your favorite app store, download that Civic Media app. You can also subscribe to our show as a podcast. Go to Apple or Spotify. All those usual places, and subscribe to us that way as well. Greg, I was looking at other news and notes to bring up today, as somebody who has a comedy shop that you work in.
I do.
I wanted to get your take on the news this week that Kevin Hart has been chosen to receive the Kennedy Center's Mark Twain Prize for Lifetime Achievement in American Humor.
That's very interesting. I feel like he might be the youngest.
He's 44.
Yeah.
He's 44, yeah.
He might not be your cup of tea, and I get that. I mean, and a lot of, they do. Jon Stewart, Dave Chappelle. But the point is he has worked incredibly hard. Like, this man came up and went from doing terrible little nightclubs to selling out stadiums. And
that's what the Associated Press story here says. He launched his career as a teen in his native Philadelphia. He recalled early stand-ups as a string of brutal failures, being booed off stage, at one point having a piece of chicken thrown at him on stage.
He was
serving chicken in a comedy club.
Well, they serve all sorts of things. That's actually a great story he told on the Graham Norton show. But you know who doesn't have that award yet? And I'm shocked by that. Conan O'Brien.
Now that does surprise me.
Yeah.
That it'll come. There's no doubt there.
Make it happen.
Hart honed a signature style that combined his diminutive stature, expressive face, and motor mouth delivery, and it made him a wildly successful touring act. But here's the part that really sticks out for me. The way that he can play a character on TV or in movies, 11 of his films, not starring him, but films that he's been in, 11 films he's been in opened at number one at the box office. All told, his films have grossed more than $4 billion in global revenue. So I will say Conan can say that. So I'm just saying he had a long-running TV show. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go, oh, wait, isn't Kevin Hart kind of young? Yeah, but that, you can't argue with that kind of a movie record.
No,
yeah.
And they don't that's not a popularity contest either. That's not an award Like, who's the hot young comic now? Tina Fey, Steve Martin, Dave Chappelle, Jon Stewart. They're all legends.
By the way, one of the trends these days on talk shows especially, and I'm not a big fan of it, is the Mount Rushmore game. And in this case, it would be who's on the Mount Rushmore of comedy. In other words, you got to give a top four.
Yeah.
And there are just some things you can't do a top four.
Yeah.
Now, people do like, who's on the Mount Rushmore of Wisconsin sports? Well, you could do that just with the glory years Packers from the 1960s, you know? Who do you put on there? So, again, these are the greats who get these awards, but you can't limit it that way. Hey, sports-wise, and this is not something I typically watch, but I may dip into it Saturday night. Did you see the Las Vegas Strip is being transformed into an F1, a Formula One racetrack?
Yep, my friend Elijah won't shut up about it.
And it in a good way or a bad way,
though? He loves F1. I'm surprised he's not going.
He's not, and a lot of other people are not, because based on ticket sales and reception from the community, it's not going great, which I'm a little surprised. To me, it's like Vegas. Anything goes in Vegas. But apparently when you rip up streets for months at a time so that they can be repaved, you know, to Formula One standards, and then you have all these closures, and then you black out all these windows to make sure that people pay tickets, you know, in order to go see the event, I guess it's rubbed some people the wrong way.
Ugh, yeah. I mean, and those events can't be cheap to attend, period.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I mean, I guess nothing is cheap as far as, with the exception of baseball. Brewers is very affordable.
I would think that if people were in Vegas, and by the way, this race is tomorrow night, Saturday night at 10 p.m. because they want the glitz of the strip, you know, everything's all lit up. And so there's all kinds of lighting there. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But if you were in Vegas that weekend, you'd have to think, well, everybody's going to be watching the race. So I'm going to go do, you know, so many other things that they could go do and not get as big of a crowd. Although maybe that's what everybody's thinking, and everybody's doing something else instead of watching the race. I don't think you could resist, though. I mean, to have the cars going that fast through there. And I'm not the world's biggest racing fan, but I'll watch a couple a year. I somehow normally catch the Formula One in Monaco just accidentally. It's like, oh, it's that race again. So I could see this one catching on. But only if the locals let them come back. So we'll see how that rolls tomorrow night. If you missed it in our last hour, we want to again tip our cap to our friend Dan Schaefer at the Recombobulation Area for, through open records requests, finding out that when the legislature kicked off its special session on September 20th, and it gaveled in the session and then adjourned for the day, disappointing all kinds of people who traveled hours to the Capitol. It was because the Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss, was nowhere to be found, because you would have found him in Brazil at a 5-star resort as part of a conference. So head over to the Recombobulation Area, look up Dan Schaefer, Schaefer, and read more of what he has to say about where Speaker Voss was and how people felt about where he was versus where he should have been for a special session of the legislature. 7 o'clock temperatures across Wisconsin look like this. It's 26 right now on Lake Wissota, 20 degrees cooler than this time yesterday. Hayward is at 20 degrees. Park Falls is 25. Wausau, 28. Green Bay, a little warmer at 36, and Oshkosh at 39. La Crosse, 28. Wisconsin Rapids is at 28 as well. Madison, 37. Waukesha, 37. And it is quiet. It is nice. It's going to be dry. Let's see how long that continues into the weekend with our forecast from Jennifer Fujitsky from Weatherology, who joins us. Jennifer, happy Friday. Good morning.
Happy Friday. Good morning. Yeah, and like you said, it's quiet, it's dry, and it's going to be sunny and a little bit cooler compared to yesterday as we saw that cold front push through the state through the overnight hours. So much cooler overall compared to yesterday. It looks like sunnier, becoming sunny for everyone with highs in the mid to upper 40s for southern Wisconsin, Richland Center, Madison, Waukesha, over towards Milwaukee, and then low 40s from Oshkosh through central and west central Wisconsin today. Saturday, it looks like a brief warm front actually comes in, so warmer for everyone. Sunshine to start off the weekend for all with highs in the upper 40s to low 50s for most. A little warmer getting into the mid-50s for Madison to Richland Center and for southwestern Wisconsin. High pressure settles in for Sunday, so essentially expect to see just a carbon copy of Saturday. Then to start off the holiday work week Monday, another cold front begins to come in. Cloudy for all, a chance for rain for nearly everyone, except for around Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, and Oshkosh. And then highs back into the mid to upper 40s for everyone. A little cooler around Wausau, getting down into the lower 40s for Monday.
All right. Sounds very good, Jennifer. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
All right, there's Jennifer Fujitsky from Weatherology joining us. She does every morning at this time, and you get your Weatherology forecast throughout the day all across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm wondering, Greg, what to make of the latest rock album that's come out, and whether Dolly Parton should have made it at all. Dolly Parton, who was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame almost under protest, yeah, said, well, I guess if I'm in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I got to do a rock album. And her first rock and roll album, appropriately titled Rockstar, comes out today. It's got a few remakes. It's got some originals. It sounds like it's got a lot of duets. Sting helps with Every Breath You Take. Peter Frampton on Baby, I Love Your Way. Debbie Harry, Heart of Glass. Pat Benatar on Heartbreaker. I would actually want to listen to that one.
I mean, that's the only rock tune you're giving me.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you've got Pink and Brandi Carlile helping out with I Can't Get No Satisfaction.
Okay.
And here's Lizzo plays flute on Stairway to Heaven. Yes, Dolly Parton is doing Stairway to Heaven.
Dang.
And this one is also intriguing. Chris Stapleton with the old Bob Seger hit Night Moves.
Ooh, I love Chris. He just released a new record that's really good.
Mm-hmm. Dolly said she wanted to work with both Mick Jagger and Lionel Richie, but the timing didn't work out with that. But on one of the songs, you do have both John Lennon, or not John Lennon, both Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr. Not at the same time, but they were in the studio at different points to help out. So again, Rockstar, we'll listen to it over the weekend, and we'll have scathing reviews coming up next week, I guess. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Friday morning, when you're here, you're up north. Back in a bit.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
It's also worth mentioning that Google has basically become a monopoly of the search engines.
We've never seen this before, where a company is just kind of like owning it. And like, yeah, we are, but what are you going to do?
That's no defense, by the way.
No.
You got nothing then.
What are they paying their attorneys? Hey, Google, search engine, how to find a good attorney.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
Haven't been checking out Director's Cut lately? Well, here's some of the guests you may have missed.
Local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel. Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, a man who has played with Buddy Guy.
Bria Krieger joining us, a local artist.
To welcome to the WFHR stage, the legends, the lizards themselves.
Best-selling author, Mystery Science Theater 3000 legend, Midwest's own Mary Jo Peel.
Director's Cut, every Sunday night from 8 to 9 on Locally Grown Radio.
Locally Grown Radio, from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
I thought you didn't like this one by Spice Girls.
I love this one. I love all of their... I celebrate their entire discography.
We were noting earlier in today's history break that the Spice Girls had gone to number one this day with their self-titled debut album. this day in 1996. And we're just going to play the rest of it from here on in. So,
it's the official theme song of Up North News Radio.
Yeah, no, we are not going to do that. Right. Not at all. All right, it's a Friday morning at 7:20. We will have much more in terms of sports with Dan Schumacher coming up a little bit later on. But we wanted to congratulate some of the state high school football champions. We should first note that last week, Florence became the first of those champions, defeating Thorpe in the eight-man championship. And then last night in Division 7, Edgar was a winner over Blackhawk Warren, 36-6. Stratford, they are the champions in Division 6, beating Darlington, 10-7. La Crosse Aquinas is your Division 5 champion, defeating Wrightstown, 32-13. And Luxembourg Casco is your Division 4 champion, defeating Lodi, 38-14. The Division 3 championship between Rice Lake and Grafton takes place at 10 o'clock this morning at Camp Randall. The Division 2 championship, Wanakee versus Badger. Again, that's 1 o'clock for Division 2. And then Division 1 will have its final showdown at 4 o'clock, and that will be Marquette versus Franklin. Badgers are playing at Lambeau Field against the Chargers Sunday at noon. Greg, we actually have friends coming in from Minnesota. And they haven't been out here for quite a while, but they wanted to make sure we were going to do one of their favorite things, that even though they're Vikings fans in Minnesota, Vikings fans just don't have fun. They don't enjoy the games the way that folks do enjoy Packer games in Wisconsin. And we've got a nice little watering hole down the road here where neighbors and friends gather. And, they're, you know, win or lose, everybody has a lot of fun. But I can tell you, growing up in Minnesota, you know, it's one of those where you're either just sitting, you're just dour, like, oh, we're probably going to lose again. Or you're getting really riled up because we're going to win the Super Bowl. And then they never, ever do. It's just, it's not fun to be a Viking. When people say, Pat, how could you go from a Vikings fan to a Packers fan? I remind people that I grew up in Minnesota in the decade of the 1970s. In that 10-year decade of the 1970s, the Vikings lost the Super Bowl 12 times. You have to be really bad to do that. So it was not a big deal to become a Packers fan with my Green Bay area farmer's daughter girlfriend turned wife. I'm glad they're coming out because I think we just enjoy our team better over here.
So, okay, so that brings up an interesting, I'll make it real quick, but so you were a Vikings fan.
First
of all, my condolences.
Yes, thank you.
So when you met Sherry, did she convert you? Did she say this is it? Like, you come with me.
No, this is what you have to know about Dr. Kreitlow. I once said to her, because she's not a sports fan, and I said, you know, you kind of get to those, you know, what would you do type questions. And I said, what if there was, for some reason, you had to become a sports fan? If you had to watch one sport regularly, if you had to pick one.
Yeah.
And she was so adamant, she would not play along with this question. She's like, absolutely not. I will not pick one. The funny thing is, I'm the one that's more or less converted her in terms of sports.
Gotcha.
Because I'm much more of a baseball fan than a football fan. And I will put the Brewers games on and, you know, sit there. And at first she maybe was you know, working in another room or whatever. And it's now become her favorite. Like, it's very relaxing. It's just kind of white noise for her.
Yes. That's why I tell people.
And that's where it's been fun to watch her, evolution, but her growth as a, you know, knowing the game. Mm-hmm. But I still like that sometimes she shows traces of when she was still kind of a rookie at this, because we'd end an inning and, you know, maybe the bases were loaded and nobody scored. And she said, oh, did they abandon the runners again? And I said, no, it's not abandoned. It's stranded. And she goes, oh no, they abandoned them. There was abandonment. And that's been our line ever since, which was really frustrating at times. Cause yes, it seemed far too often we abandoned players on bases and just couldn't get hits at the right time.
I like that better. That sounds more dramatic. It brings more pathos to the game. We've abandoned the runners again.
So when things got started, no, she did not throw, you know, Packer stuff in my face. And again, I didn't do that with the Vikings either. I really liked watching Fran Tarkenton. Mm-hmm. And when he was coached by Bud Grant, I don't remember the year that Bud Grant left, but it then went to some drill sergeant by the name of Les Steckel, and the team just went down after that. And it seemed like, I don't know how many people who were fans in the Bud Grant, Fran Tarkenton era stayed fans, you know, beyond that. It was just an entirely different change of course. But as I learned from Sherry, the same thing happened when the Packers, you know, their 1970s weren't so great either.
No,
you know,
neither were their 80s.
They just seemed to handle it better, that we just enjoy getting together, watching the game, passing around, you know, a sausage and cheese board or, you know, whatever the snacks may be. And we enjoy it. And I'm glad that we have Minnesota friends who actually just want to come meet the neighbors again and see the camaraderie that we have during the game.
When did the Vikings become a team, though?
1961.
See, I think there's something to be said about teams that have been around for a long time. I feel like that, you know, when your team has been around for 50, 75, 100 years, you're like, it's fine. It's another time. You know, but Brewers fans, we're a relatively young team. Even they're 50 years old, they're still a young team compared to other teams. We're just still like all up in our diapers whenever we lose. We're just like, Cubs fans, you know, for what they are, they're like, it's fine.
You're right. You're right. The Brewers only date back to 1969 as the Seattle Pilots, now one of the longest droughts without any kind of championship, a drought eclipsed only by a team like the Minnesota Vikings, which also has had this long drought. Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, when you're relatively young and you haven't won and you're hungry and you have those close calls, you know what? There's another Minnesota team like that, the Timberwolves. They are cursed, though. That franchise has you know, I don't know that they're ever going to get to where they need to be. At least the Bucks, again, they had their lean years after Don Nelson left, but they're coming back very nicely. But, and again, I don't watch a ton of NBA basketball, but the Timberwolves have just never been able to put it together. So it's not fun to be a Minnesota sports fan these days. So no wonder they want to cross the border and come on over here.
Come over. You know? The weather's about the same.
We asked at the top of the show, what makes for the best Thanksgiving dinner? You know, what do you like best? What is novel or unique about your Thanksgiving? People that don't have turkey, and I'm not talking like turducken. Maybe some people do have, you know, duck or goose or things like that. But, you know, I don't know that I've ever been to a Thanksgiving dinner that didn't have turkey. But I know that for some people, that's just not their thing, you know, on Thanksgiving.
I know some people who do ham. I know ham is generally an Easter thing, but or they have turkey and ham because some people just don't like turkey.
You're right. And I think ham is probably the alternative for people like that. You know, I always like, you mentioned before, the appetizer course and having to be careful about it. Ours is kind of the opposite. Sherry's family, they have dinner relatively early and then they kind of put everything away and then they bring out all these different appetizers. And by the end of the day, it's not the Thanksgiving dinner that did it. It's all the munchies afterwards, you know, playing sheep's head for hours and hours. So I hope everybody plans out a nice meal and has a nice break next week. We'll pause here to talk to Mark Jacob about polling and other media coverage as we head into the 2024 campaign year. You're up north.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Your hometown news, talk, and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on. Badgers kill off the major.
Between the pipes.
Redirect another fantastic stop.
This is Badger Hockey.
Shoots one, scores. Wow.
It's everything.
For the win, he shoots and scores.
Badger Hockey lives here.
Keep it going, baby.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk, a message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Sunny skies today with highs around 51. West winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 27 tonight. Clear skies tomorrow 48. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 29.
Happy Friday. Before we get to Mark Jacob, let's get a few comments in from the listeners. Roger reminds us that the Seattle Pilots were a disaster before they came to Milwaukee. Their ballpark inadequate. A lot of people don't know they weren't supposed to start until 1971 with the Kansas City Royals. Then along came Stuart Symington and Bud Selig, of course, as well. So we appreciate Roger's comment there. And then from Chris Hambuck Boyle, she simply writes in, Paul McCartney with 5 exclamation points, coming back to something that we said a little earlier about the Dolly Parton album. So we have a Paul McCartney fan out there amongst us. Mark Jacob joins us now to talk about some of the headlines of the week, some of the coverage of them. Mark knows that I'm already locked and loaded on one particular topic, and I know I'm going to find a friendly audience with him. Mark, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great.
All right. Just going to get it off my chest again. The latest one was a Quinnipiac poll, and they asked these two types of questions that just get me so worked up. One is a national head-to-head poll. So when I hear, you know, Trump leads Biden 48-47, or Biden leads Trump 48-46, first off, it's within the margin of error, so why are we even talking about this? And second, we don't elect presidents on a national poll basis. That's not how the Electoral College works. Why, Mark, do we still – why do media networks and everything tolerate this kind of coverage?
Well, part of it is that if the news media just said, well, let's wait and see how people vote and then figure it out from there – that takes about 6 or 7 or 8 seconds. And then what do they do with the rest of the airtime? So they much prefer to have polls that they can talk about and take apart. And, you know, here's the black voters do this, and here's the way his Latino voters do this, and, you know, women are this, and, you know, and so they just take it apart and, you know, chew up airtime. And frankly, Pat, I think that's kind of the main value of it for them. And the thing about polls now, you know, Ben Carson was leading Donald Trump in 2015 at this right. point in the race. You know, so President Carson, you know,
Howard Dean, Rudy Giuliani, the list goes on of people who
it doesn't say much. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, and I would love to see somebody count the number of hours spent on, you know, on major news outlets on polls versus the, you know, the election that just happened. You mm-hmm. know, there was an actual election, and that election had an error, had a margin of error of zero.
Right.
I mean, we know we counted the votes. We know who won. We don't have to like guess about it. We don't have to. It had margin of error of zero. So why don't we talk about that?
And we probably would have if it would had been, you know, not gone as well for Biden and the Democrats. I think we would be getting more of the let's talk to somebody at a diner in central Missouri and see what they think about it.
Did you notice that Kristen Welker like talked about the mixed results of the,
yes.
of the election?
Yeah.
Mixed results? Are you kidding me? I mean, a red state like Ohio went overwhelmingly for abortion rights. You know, a Democrat won the governorship fairly, I mean, amazingly easily in Kentucky, which is, you know, last I checked, was not a blue state.
No, not at all. And, you know, came close in Mississippi as well. The other thing about polling is this thing about either likability or excitement. Are you excited about right. the two candidates? In this case, it would be Trump and Biden. And it's not like, again, it doesn't work that way. You get who the national parties nominate, which means you have to go vote in primaries, but so does everybody else in the country. So we don't get to pick. We eventually have these choices foisted upon us. But it just seems to me that by polling, like, are you excited about this? It just leads to this self-fulfilling prophecy of feeling negative about politics.
Right, right. And then, you know, then you also have this really stupid polling where they say, well, if a fictional Republican candidate ran against Joe Biden, what would be the result? So, well, the fictional candidate is not running. I mean, there's the fictional candidate has no negatives, has no record, you know, nothing to. So, of course, you know, people just imagine, you know, the best possible candidate in their minds, and that skews the polling. I mean, they just ask so many, they set up so many things that make no sense. And you know, the thing that you mentioned about, you know, this kind of national polling on presidential races, that I feel like that the Democrats in 2016 got fooled by that. I think that they were paying attention to that instead of looking at Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania. And so we shouldn't fall into that trap. It's a stupid trap to fall into.
It would be so much more valuable if these pollsters asked people not about the candidates, but about the issues. What issues are important to you? And then would you like to see it fixed this way or would you like to see it fixed that way? And then apply that to the candidates and say, okay, the people say they want, you know, legalized marijuana. Candidate A is for it. Candidate B is against it. It's not a mystery as to how you would make polling work better for the national discourse.
Right, exactly. I mean, and that's a perfect example of, you know, first do the polling on the issues and then apply that polling to the candidates. And you would educate the electorate that way. You know, I was reading an article about, you know, someone was talking about how uneducated the electorate is. And, you know, I'm not insulting anyone. I mean, it's people who have busy lives. They, you know, they got to pick up their kids, you know, at soccer practice and stuff. So I get that. But people don't understand things. And they quoted some woman as saying, whoa, so Biden is for abortion rights? I thought since Roe versus Wade got overturned while he was president, he was responsible for that. Mm-hmm. So people don't know things, which is why smart politicians repeat themselves. They hammer home points. And if there's one key way that I think that the left of center side of the aisle has made a big mistake is that they don't push their issues hard enough. They don't repeat themselves enough. Whereas, you know, you've got Fox News saying the same thing all the time.
All the time. I'd also like to pick on reporting for a moment about the economy, because the economy, again, I almost feel defensive saying this when I say the economy is going great in that in its in the nature of its recovery versus the pandemic. And then people want to say, well, you know, still this and that. Yeah, it's not where we all would like it to be in a perfect. Again, there is no perfect world. But when you compare the U.S. recovery to the entire Eurozone and other places, and yet I didn't write down who wrote this, but I said this person tweeted, look, I'm a broken record on this one, but reporting on the economy under Biden has been a level of awful on par with butthurt emails and pre-Iraq war WMD claims. Right. And I wonder if you don't think the national reporting on the economy is at that low a level.
What gets me is that, you know, you'll watch cable news and they'll say, well, you know, the inflation is really calming down here. And, oh, look at the unemployment rate is one of the lowest it's been in the last 50 years. Boy, things are going great. But look at this polling. And people think that the economy is terrible. And then the news media will say, why do people think that? And the answer is you guys. The answer, yes. People think that because you guys are not, like, actually reporting the facts. I mean, where do they think people get things? They get information from the people whose job it is to provide information. And so I just wish that they would look at it in a rational way. And Pat, there's a good way to explain what's happened in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. We had a great, horrible, worldwide pandemic. We put a bunch of the U.S. decided that, you know, because so many people were thrown out of work and were, you know, and there was so much dislocation that they decided put some money in there, give people some checks, keep people being able to spend money so the economy didn't crash. But whenever you like shoot a bunch of money into the economy, you're going to have inflation. It's going to cause inflation. So inflation happened. So really responsible actions were taken by the Fed and by Biden, and it's come down. You know, Thanksgiving is costing less this year than it did last year. Mm-hmm. Fox painfully mentioned that yesterday. Yeah. They said, well, you know, they said, but that's because of the turkeys, not because of Bidenomics, you know, which what are you talking about? I mean, so the turkeys decided how much they were going to cost?
Yeah. Turkeys don't decide their price. Now, for those of you who are regular listeners and you go, okay, yep, Pat and Mark agreeing again, shaking their fist at a cloud, I'm going to bring up something where we may disagree. This is something that came up just yesterday in the nature of reporting. So I'm going to make my case first, Mark, and then you can go ahead and tell me, you know, the ways that I'm wrong or mistaken. Fox sideline reporter Carissa Thompson basically said, and she said she's admitted this before, but I think people weren't paying attention, that there were times early in her career as a sideline reporter when she was still relatively new and didn't have all the access to the coaches that she wanted. She said in so many words, sometimes she would make up a report on the sidelines because she couldn't get access. Now, here's the part where I'm maybe splitting hairs. At no point did she say she made up something that wasn't a fact, like, you know, somebody's ankle sprain is better. What she made up essentially were the cliches, like, oh, the coach says we got to do better in the second half, or, you know, the coach says we got to, you know, catch the ball more. So yes, she was making things up, but she wasn't making up news. She was just, you know, regurgitating sports cliches. So having said that, I'm saying, Carissa, you shouldn't have done it. I'm not sure it's a fireable offense, but there are a lot of people, and I want to know where you come down on, you know, by just admitting that, is it a fireable offense, what she did as a sideline reporter?
It's a fireable offense. Mm-hmm. I would fire her if I were her boss. You don't make up stuff on TV. You know, if your job is to go find out facts, you don't make up stuff. And I get everything you're saying. I mean, here, you know, it's, you know, well, we got to, like, we got to play better defense on the second half. It's not exactly a, you know, a revelation. But her job, I mean, what is she on the sideline to do? She's on the sideline to go find out what's going on. She's there, you know, Pat, those that sideline reporters, sometimes it's just terrible. Only thing I want to know from them is if there's an injury, I want to know kind of what's the state of the injury. Is that player going to come back? That's valuable information if you're watching a football game. But I really don't want to hear the coach say, you know, say, well, you know, we got to, you know, play better defense or I mean, stupid stuff like that. I don't need that. Mm-hmm. So I think that the reporters on the sidelines have a valuable job to do, but not if they're lying about stuff, not if they're turning it into that. I mean, I'm just shocked that she admitted that. It must have just been some incredible brain cramp. And it's not, and it's not clear to me when she says she did it in the past. I mean, how much in the past? If I were her boss, I'd like want to go through every time she did it.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing I'll say, and it's apples and oranges, so it's not entirely in her defense, but one of the things that struck me, the first Tom Friedman book I wrote, or read rather, and I don't remember if it was the Earth is Flat or if it was something prior to that, but he talked about being working in the New York Times station in Beirut, Lebanon, while the Civil War was going on there. So he's in a war zone. And every day, the Associated Press or somebody would call up and want to know the high and the low and the temperature for all. They do it for everybody, all their world conditions. And they were their point of contact. And Friedman says in the book, we're in a war zone. I just turn to my buddy and go, feel like 74 to you? Yeah, it's 74 degrees out here. I know it's not the same, but it's like there's times where you go, is this really how high priority is it?
I have a story that reminds me of. And I was used to work on the sports desk at the newspaper. And this was before the internet. So people would call us up and say, you know, who won that baseball game tonight? What was the score? Is it, or they would say, who won the batting title in 1951? I'm here at a bar and I'm having a bet with my buddy. Mm-hmm. And we would tell him, or this person that I worked with would do this. He would tell him an answer. And then the guy would say, well, tell my buddy here at the bar so that he'll win the bet. And when the buddy got on the phone, my colleague would give them a different answer. So then they hang up and they did fight at the bar and they, you know, and nobody would have an answer.
Oh, see, that's fun. You know, when people use you for the help desk, when you're not the help desk.
Exactly.
Too fun. Mark Jacob, thank you so much. Again, go to couriernewsroom.com. You can see his newsletter, Stop the Presses, there. Mark, have a great weekend. Let's see, next weekend's Thanksgiving. So have a great Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
All right.
All right. We'll see you later. Coming up next, Dan Schumacher will be along, and we will talk about a whole lot of sports that's coming up this weekend. And in the meantime, while you wait for us to get started on that, you should get over to upnorthnewswi.com, and you should sign up for our newsletter or click on store and get yourself some T-shirts and tote bags as well. You're up north.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything, helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people, a neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
See, here's the thing now with having Greg on board here, that Greg appreciates the Grateful Dead as much as Dan does, and so unlike with Aaron and with Sam, we're good to get a suggestion from Dan every week. Greg's just throwing something out there, and then now Dan's the one that can react to the choice of the song. So, Dan, what do we got, and how are you feeling about it?
Oh, it's a good song, good jam. It's,
what do you got there?
It's early. It's playing in the band. I think Donna's in this song, so I'm going to say 74.
What do you got, Greg?
71.
Ooh, we're going way back.
Donna was in the band. I could tell. Usually when they play it the way they're playing it right now, Donna Giangaccia, the only female singer they had in the band, was in that time.
All right. Dan Schumacher is here, Executive Director of Athletics at Northland College, and talking about some of the sports that are going to be coming up this weekend and other nonsense as well. If you missed it earlier, the State High School Football Championships are going on. And again, congratulations to the first round of winners, Edgar, Stratford, Wrightstown, and Luxembourg Casco. And then later today, Rice Lake versus Grafton, Wanakee versus Badger, Marquette versus Franklin. Dan, you're pretty busy with the new gig up there in Ashland, but and I know we probably talked about this a year ago. How much attention you tend to pay to the state high school football championships? Jimmy Costco was telling us yesterday, it's a very large contingent of coaches from around the state that come sit in the stands there for the tournament.
Yeah, and actually, you know what, a unique piece to it is that a lot of the colleges, such as UW-Eau Claire or UW-Whitewater, they put on hospitality hotel rooms, a banquet room for the high school coaches to come and get a beer and a sandwich or something, and it's usually put on by the colleges just to entertain the high school coaches for, from a recruitment of their student-athletes, so... It's a unique weekend where you see the state come together in many different ways for high school sports.
All right. The Badgers play at Camp Randall. They'll be playing Nebraska on Saturday.
Is this the worst Badger team you've seen?
Wow.
I mean, I can't believe how fundamentals and everything is just, it's hard to watch. And I'm not a big Badger fan, but I've never seen a Badger team like this before that can't run the ball.
The question is this, at what point, it's all about the definition of rebuilding. At what point is it called rebuilding? And at one point is it called just bad, that they're just bad. This is not rebuilding. They're just not very good and they're not going to rebuild. And yeah. I don't know where they are at this point.
I don't know either, but I mean, if I'm Jimmy Leonard, I'm kind of giggling a little bit. giggling about what's going on when they could have had him. But McIntosh, the AD there, he's a professional, consummate professional. You know, I'm sure he's happy with his hire for hockey because they're, one or two?
Number one in the nation, Badger men's hockey. They are at Michigan State tonight and tomorrow. Badger women's hockey, number one in the nation. They are at Ohio State tonight
and tomorrow. Where's volleyball?
And volleyball is scrolled down, Pat, not up. They are at Purdue tonight, 6 o'clock on the Big Ten Network, and then Sunday afternoon at Indiana. And a week from today, Black Friday, is the rematch with Nebraska. That's going to be something.
That'll be fun. It'll be fun. It's fun watching that high level volleyball, athleticism. They can jump out of the gym. They can really swing the arm. They're fun to watch.
Yeah. Let's talk NFL for a second. The Packers play the Chargers at Lambeau Sunday at noon, and people are asking questions about Jordan Love. Is he bad or is he, learning? Dan, you're a Bears fan. You know all about terrible quarterbacks. So based on your...
Boy, that was a shock.
Extensive.
That was a total shock.
Based on your extensive history of quarterbacks, let's actually take it from a Bears perspective. Because, again, that many quarterbacks over these years, can you point to one and say that quarterback did not get enough time? And not an injury, but just that they didn't get enough time. Or have the Bears just been that unlucky with their quarterbacks all these years?
I'm going to say unlucky. I really am. I mean, look at Trubisky. Statistically, he's better than Fields. Well, you know, sure. The amount of games that they played.
I mean, and Ryan Leaf should be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but you know, things don't work out when you actually get to the NFL. So now I ask you, and again, I know you don't watch the Packers as carefully, but enough to say Jordan Love. Do you continue to stick with him, or are you already looking for another QB if you're the Packers?
I'm looking for an insurance quarterback. I'm not looking for somebody who's going to take the lead. Mm-hmm. But I think Jordan Love can play. I think he can make all the throws. I think what his fault has been the last couple of weeks, he throws those late fourth quarter interceptions that just kill him. And especially the two, I think there's been two games where they've been down there to try to win, to drive and get and take the lead, and he throws a pick. So I like what I see in Jordan Love. I'm kind of disappointed the Packers have gotten away from their run game when they have two stud running backs. So, but there's a chance, you know, that if the Bears beat Detroit this weekend and the Packers lose, we would have the same record.
Yeah, and then the Packers go to Detroit.
If you're a Packers fan, Packers. Welcome to the cellar.
Packers go to Detroit for Thanksgiving. They've got a short turnaround on that one as well. So
hey, I saw DSO, Greg.
How was it?
It was a smoker. It was the 30th anniversary show.
So weird. That band is now 30 years old.
Okay, remind people what DSO is.
Dark Star Orchestra is probably one of the top two cover bands for the Grateful Dead. They played at the Palace Theater in St. Paul last weekend, and I got to indulge and go listen to their music, and it was a sold-out show. Saw a lot of old friends from the road from back in the day. It was just fun, and it was a good listen.
And they play, they don't just play the music, they take a show and they recreate that set.
Yep, they played a 77 show.
Nice, good year, 77, good year.
Oh yeah, very good year.
All right. Well, I'm glad you got to see that. Obviously, we're going to have Thanksgiving football. You've got a doubleheader of hockey tonight, you said?
I do, and I play Eau Claire tonight, Pat. I play UW Eau Claire in the men's game, the second game of the doubleheader.
All right, good. Well, enjoy that, and then we'll see you back down here in Chippewa over the weekend.
Yeah, you betcha. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yep.
Happy Thanksgiving, Dan.
Greg, thanks so much. We'll see you come Monday. And also next week, Robert Craig from Citizen Action will be joining us too. Remember that you can follow us all day long on the socials. You can do that at Up North News WI on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can follow me on social media at Pat Kreitlow. I've even done some TikTok videos lately. They're not exciting yet, but I'm learning. I'm getting there. So again, wherever you are, thanks for listening. Remember, all of Wisconsin is America's true up north, and we're glad you could be up here on the lake with us. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. Like, if my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Locally grown radio, WFHR programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you asking the court to do something that spells out a school funding formula?
This is not about the school finance formula itself. It's about the voucher programs. It says to create a system of public schools. It doesn't say anything about creating two parallel systems and sucking the money out of the public school system and providing it to the private
school system. WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5